And our text, again, is verses 1 to 11 of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we continue in our series through 1 Corinthians, we come to that ever-familiar phrase, now concerning spiritual gifts. Paul's getting into another subject of the letter, which is dealing with this whole matter of worship, which we see from verses 12 to 14. I encourage you to leave that open before you as we'll be working through that. Dear congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, if I were to ask you, what is the most controversial subject in the church today, what would you say? I think based on the text, we'd have to say spiritual gifts are on the top of that list. You can have differences over the end times and still be united. In fact, in some Presbyterian churches, some denominations, you can have people coexisting in the same congregation, though some might be amillennial, others might be postmillennial, and others, again, might be historic premillennial. And yet they all are part of the same denomination. Several of my profs at Greenville Seminary had different opinions regarding the millennium, and yet they were able to work well together, even over a disagreement like that. The same can be said for conferences where you might have a representation of different denominations. I think of the Banner of Truth Ministers Conference, which I usually attend. There you have a representation of Reformed churches, but also Baptist churches, those who hold to the 5 points of Calvinism. There's a unity that we can still have together, even though we disagree over this matter of baptism, and we all place ourselves under the Word of God and are greatly blessed by that. But when it comes to this whole matter of spiritual gifts, there almost always is controversy. Those who have a Pentecostal view of spiritual gifts cannot exist in the same congregation with those who have a historic understanding of spiritual gifts and their place in the church. What are we to make of spiritual gifts? Do all the gifts that are mentioned in the Bible still exist today? Do people still have miraculous or supernatural gifts? Well, there are differing opinions on this, of course. Classic Pentecostalism, which has been in existence for about 100 years or so, would insist that supernatural gifts do indeed exist today. And they're not the only ones. What we call neo-Pentecostalism or third-wave Pentecostalism has become so bad that if you grunt like a pig or roar like a lion or fall down in a fit of holy laughter, you're considered to be more spiritual. However, the historic Reformed and Protestant way of understanding supernatural gifts is that they're temporary. They were part of the age of the apostles. They ceased once the apostles passed away. History shows us that tongues and prophecies and other forms of revelation ceased shortly after the epistles, the rest of the Bible, was written. And I don't think there's any reason for us to reject that historic position. We are rooted in church history. We're not to try to reinvent the wheel. When it comes to this whole matter of spiritual gifts and understanding them, Paul begins with this warning in verse 1. He says, I do not want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to be unwise. And that says something to us. We're to be a thinking people. The Holy Spirit has been given to us for that purpose. We're to be a people who use our minds. And Paul reminds them of their past. They worshiped idols, but satanic powers were present. They were carried away by them, but now they were led by the Spirit, the Spirit who gave them wisdom and gave them discernment. So that's a warning to us today. That's a word of reminder to us today as we consider spiritual gifts and their place today. We're given minds. Our minds are renewed by the Holy Spirit. And so when we assess this whole matter of spiritual gifts and the question why they exist, we need to apply our minds to the Scriptures. And so with our Bibles open, we want to look at this text on spiritual gifts and examine three different thoughts. And then we'll close with some application. First of all, consider their origin. Where do spiritual gifts come from? And you might say, well, that's fairly obvious. They come from the Holy Spirit. But before you answer that question too quickly, look at this passage very carefully. Look at verses 4 to 6. They're very intriguing and important. We have there three groups of thoughts in those verses. And if we arrange verses 4 to 6 in a certain order, we could say it like this. There are varieties of gifts, ministries, and activities. But where do they come from? Verse 4 says, but the same Spirit. Verse 5 says, but the same Lord. And verse 6 adds, but the same God who works all in all. It's all three persons of the Trinity that are mentioned here. The Lord, the Spirit, and when the word Lord is used, it's used to distinguish the Son from the Father. And the name God is used. That speaks of the Father. With respect to the Spirit, there are varieties of gifts. In relation to the Lord Jesus, those gifts are ministries. And with regard to God the Father, there are activities. Thus, when we're talking about the sources of all gifts, all come from the triune God. And we're not to try to minimize that as Christian people today. We're not to take this lightly. This is not some theological abstraction having nothing to do with us today. Satan has so often attacked the doctrine of the Trinity. It's why Jehovah's Witnesses are adamantly opposed to the Trinity. That's not by accident. It's an attack on our very life and being as Christians. Paul is saying to us today that all three persons present gifts to his people. We're not to minimize that. We're to see how blessed we really are. Paul says there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. The New Testament lists about 20 different gifts. Some of those gifts are listed here. Paul gives 9. That list is not meant to be exhaustive by any sense of the mean. They all come from the same Spirit. There are varieties of ministries, but the same Lord. And the word Paul uses for ministry is the word that we use for the work of a deacon, that work of service. Those works of service are without limit. One person can teach Sunday school. Another can lead and provide administration. Another can encourage and counsel. Another one can be the hands and feet of Christ. But it all comes to us from the same Lord, the same Christ who showed a life of service for us. All the service that we're called to must be done in that Spirit. And in the same way, Paul says there are varieties of activities. And here he uses the word for energy. What he's saying is that we can be involved with different gifts, but we can never do this without his strength. To illustrate this, you may have the gift of showing mercy to others. You do that to those who are in need. As a mother, that's something that you are called to do, to show mercy to your children. But You can't do that on your own. You need the Lord's energy to do this. You need the Lord's strength. If you don't have the Lord's strength, you'd be a grump. And it's the same for a minister preparing a sermon. He might come all prepared. He may have spent his week well and worked hard, and he's ready to go Sunday morning. But if he is not relying on God to help him in this activity, he's going to be delivering a homily. He won't be effective in the lives of God's people. We depend on God to do what he has called us to do. Now, of course, in saying that the Trinity gives gifts to God's people, it certainly is true to say that all gifts come from the Holy Spirit. The Spirit primarily works in the life of the believer. It's the Spirit who enables us to receive and develop these gifts, whatever gifts they might be, whatever variety of gift. It is the Spirit who stands behind them and develops them in the life of the church. And so we see that that there is an origin to these gifts. It's from God. It's from the Spirit working in us. But consider also their variety. There is a great variety. We have that listed there in verses 8 to 10. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. As we mentioned earlier, the historic Reformed and Protestant way of understanding supernatural gifts is that they were not permanent, that they were part of the apostolic era. They were part of the age of the apostles. They did not last beyond that. Now, that's not to say that all these gifts have passed away with the apostles. Some of them are still in existence, and they're still necessary for the growth and the development of the body of Christ. Take, for example, this gift of wisdom. That's a gift that has to do with the mind. It refers to the ability to apply God's word to everyday life. And we need that. We need wisdom. We need to be people of the times. You know, the tribe of Issachar, they were described in the Old Testament as men who understood the times and what Israel had to do. And we need that. We need to be discerning. We need men, we need women who are wise. Far too often, people are not discerning in their choices. We need wisdom. We need to apply the word into our lives. The same can be said also for the gift of a word of knowledge. Very connected to this. That can't just be understood as a supernatural gift of that time and era. This is referring to having a special insight into the word of God. And that's something that doesn't naturally come to anyone. We need the Spirit of God. But when we have this gift, if you have this ability, it can be such a blessing to others. I've heard people in Bible studies who are able to provide profound insight into a certain passage. That's a gift from God. And it's a great blessing. The third gift that's mentioned here is a gift of faith. That's not referring to ordinary faith, which is given to every Christian in order to believe, because we all need faith in order to believe in salvation. This is a gift of being able to trust God beyond the ability and grasp of others. This is a gift that can move mountains. The gift of healing was given to the early church in order to confirm the message of the gospel of power. When Jesus would heal, it was for the purpose of people trusting in Him and praising God for His Word. Now, some people during those days, they wanted to see Christ work miracles just to be simply marveled by them. But Jesus performed those miracles so that people would believe in Him and see that He was the Christ. The same with miracles. A miracle is a momentary halting of the laws that govern the world. Many miracles are in the Bible. I'm sure children here this afternoon, you probably can name some different miracles that you have learned in Sunday school or at home. Jesus did many miracles. He healed the sick. He was able to bring about many loaves and fish to feed 5,000 men. We think of Elijah and Elisha who performed miracles. A miracle happened during the days of Joshua when the sun stood still. Miracles are signs that God used to confirm the Word of God. That's exactly what we read in Scripture. For example, consider Hebrews 2 verse 4. It says, God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. God bore witness to His Word through miracles and wonders. The gift of prophecy was also given to the church. Prophecy is not simply a matter of predicting the future. It's speaking the Word of God. It's speaking the truth. We believe that the gift of prophecy is something that's no longer needed today because the Word of God is complete. Hebrews 1 verse 1 says that God spoke at various times and in various ways through the prophets. But He now speaks to us in these last days through whom? It's through the Son. And this gift of discernment also is mentioned. If someone said at that time, I'm a prophet, I have a prophetic message, the person who had this gift of discernment could judge whether or not this was true. That's something that's still necessary today, as we know very well, just within these last few days, this past weekend, we had Harold Camping predicting that May 21st would be the last day of the world, be the day of judgment. Now, his prediction hasn't come to pass, but there are people who did believe in this. They fell for this. They fell for the lie, sad to say. We need this as well. We need the gift of discernment. Paul furthermore mentions the gift of speaking the word in a different language, the gift of tongues, and the gift of interpreting tongues. And we'll look at that some other time. These are the gifts that are given in variety, but there is a priority. There is a priority of gifts. The priority is always on the teaching and the preaching ministry. And we see that right within this passage itself. At the end of this chapter, verses 28 and following, it says there, and God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No, not all do. That's why Paul goes on to say, but earnestly desire the best gifts, the gifts that edify others. For you know that as great as these gifts are, as great as they have been throughout the history of the world, especially the supernatural gifts, we have to remember that not everyone who had a gift used it in the right manner. Did Balaam use the gift of prophecy for the glory of God? He was given that gift of prophecy. Did he use that for the glory of God? From the Old Testament, we know that he didn't. The book of Jude warns against those who have gone in the error of Balaam. Didn't Jesus say, many will come to me at the end of the age, but Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? Didn't we heal? And the Lord will say, depart from me, for I never knew you. So it shows us that the Spirit gives gifts, and they're a real blessing, but they need to be used wisely. They need to be used with a heart of faith. And all of us must be discerning. All of us must be knowledgeable. All of us must seek to be more knowledgeable of the truth. All of us must be growing in our faith. It's not enough just to be satisfied where we're at. We need to be filling our minds with the truth. And so that's the second thing that is brought out here, the variety of gifts. But lastly, consider their purpose. And the purpose is obvious. It doesn't need to be stated in great elaboration. The purpose of them is to be of service to others. Too often we think that the Spirit gives gifts only to ministers of the gospel, to missionaries, to evangelists. Too often we make too much of a distinction between sacred work and secular work. But the Spirit sovereignly works and He gives gifts to every believer. Every believer has a special and important place. Everyone in the church has a role to play. Know what Paul says there in verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. We're one body. We are indispensable to one another. We considered that not that long ago when we looked at the latter part of this chapter. We all have a place. We are the body of Christ and we're called to serve one another. Those gifts are never meant to be for the basis of infighting or for competition. The gifts are not given by God to be used against each other. No, they're meant for us. They're meant for all of us. They're not for confusion or quarreling. They're meant for the purpose of us displaying the glory of Christ. We must use all that we are and all that we have to bring others to see Christ. This then is what Paul has to say about these various gifts. He speaks of their origin, their variety, and their purpose. But how does this passage then apply to us? And there are three different things that we want to close with in application. The first thing that we need to do is we need to know what our spiritual gifts are. But how do you do that? How do you know what gifts you have? Well, in order to know God's gifts, you need to turn to the Word of God. There are some natural gifts and abilities that we cannot confuse here with spiritual gifts. For example, someone might be athletic. It's great to be able to be athletic. You might be good at baseball, volleyball, track and field. But being athletic is not a spiritual gift. We're talking here about spiritual gifts that the Lord has given. Here we have a list of 9 different gifts, but if you look, for example, at another passage, Romans chapter 12, we see another list of gifts. It speaks of prophecy there, bringing the Word of God. It speaks of the gift of exhortation. Some have the gift of teaching. This can include the gift of counseling others. It can include the gift of giving good biblical advice. It can include the gift of encouragement. This is not just confined to the work of a biblical counselor. The older women And God's word are told to teach the younger women. They're to give that word of counsel. Older men are to teach younger men. And of course, there are other areas where we need that teaching, catechism teaching, the teaching of children. It has all of these ranges and aspects to it. Romans 12 also speaks about the gift of giving. That can include the gift of hospitality. The elders of the church are supposed to be known for hospitality. You can have a great ministry by being hospitable. Romans 12 further speaks of leadership and administration. That's a very valuable gift for the church today, to have leadership ability. And that could include the gift of financial management. That is a gift that can be used very mightily in the church. Romans 12 also speaks of showing mercy. And that can be shown in different ways, building and repairing or helping others. And we have to say that there are other gifts like musical composition, writing poems. The church has benefited today from those who have written excellent hymns. So there we have gifts that are listed. We're given different gifts, and some of them may match up with our personalities and our characters and our strengths, but none of them are to be useful to us unless we have a relationship to Jesus Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who uses our gifts in various ways. So we all need to discover what our gifts are. That's one thing. Another very important application is that we have to use our gifts. There is diversity of gifts. The Lord has given different ones to each person. They're not all the same. Not everyone is exactly the same. But if you don't use your gift, you might lose it. And perhaps that should be our slogan in the church: use it or lose it. It's not something that should stop once we get into our senior years. If you have a gift, you are to use it to the benefit of others. Perhaps some of us have a little extra time on our hands during the week. How can we use that time to benefit someone who might be in need? How are we to use our gift? The Holy Spirit has given gifts liberally for the church and for that purpose. And the church is not a nursery school. You don't have to wait to be invited to use your gift. We need to have Nike theology when it comes to the church. Just do it. Use your gift for others. But there's one more thing that we find this text teaching us today. Furthermore, we need to be thankful. We need to be thankful for other people's gifts, the gifts that they have been given. And we need to express thankfulness for others. And that's not always easy to do, is it? We neglect to do that sometimes. We can sometimes forget to be thankful for others. We take them for granted, even though they're being used by the Lord in our lives and are being a blessing to us. That might be hard for us to do because, you know, we might have this idea that if we thank someone that they might become a little proud. But it's amazing how one small word of thanks can be such an encouragement to someone. So uplifting. It can be just what helps them to carry on in their lives. We therefore can't take others for granted, but remember how much of a blessing they are to us personally. We need to be thankful for others. But that can become especially difficult when the Lord has given obvious gifts to others and other people notice them. One of Satan's greatest tools that he uses against us is jealousy. And that can happen sometimes in the ministry. The Lord might mightily endow a certain pastor with great abilities. They're a gift to the church. They're used mightily by the Lord. A The pastor sizes himself up and sees how far he falls short. He goes to a conference to hear the revered masters. And that can make him come away from that feeling somewhat encouraged, but at the same time, feeling inadequate or guilty. And that could be a hard thing to deal with. But when that green-eyed monster creeps up into his life, what must he do? He has to be thankful. He has to thank God for the gifts that God gives certain leaders. However, that's not just a problem for those in the ministry, is it? That can happen to you too. Sometimes the gifts that God gives the church can be turned into a competition. One person is gifted in the same way as another, and there's not a team effort. There's a competition. Some people look up to one person and others look up to another person. Or it could be that someone is praised for their gifts in your hearing, and instead of being thankful, you become jealous. And you put that person down with your thoughts. You might not say it out loud, but in your heart you do that. That's really hard to deal with. But what are we to do? Again, we're to be thankful for the gifts of others and to be content with the gifts and the place that the Lord has given to us to serve within His church. So what are the gifts that you have? Are you discovering them? Are you using them? Are you thankful for them? And are you thankful for them in others? The Lord bless us this day with His word. And may we use what He has given us for the glory of His name. Amen.